On today's show, we talk conference championships. Is there anything better to watch?
Angels in the outfield.
That is off topic, Tim. Green Bay Brian, how did the game go?
We won by 20.
That's amazing. Tim, how could you lose by 20?
Like, Matt was throwing the ball, you know, a couple weird times, and I felt like he kept, like, noodle-arming it over to people.
Wow, that bad.
Yeah, why did they keep showing him?
I think,
like,
it was...
man is crying.
Yeah, it was tough to watch.
I would definitely agree with that.
Okay, let's check in on the Steelers and the Patriots. Greg, what is your main takeaway from this game?
Hayward Bay, actually, he's a solid pro player.
Okay, I know what you're thinking. That's literally all not true. We just thought we would offer an alternative recap to start things out. But let's get to the real show right now.
Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
All right, here we go. Conference championships. This is where we determine who is going to be in the Super Bowl. At this point, I think it's safe to say these probably are the four best teams in the NFL. I'm not going to keep you away from it for long, guys. Let's get to the recaps. We're going to start off with the first game, which was the Green Bay Packers versus the Atlanta Falcons.
Good evening, morning, afternoon, whenever you're listening to it, guys. This is Tim, your Atlanta Falcons superfan, riding a wave of emotions, positive emotions, here with my friend Brian. Of the Packers. Brian, what happened?
We were outmatched, I think. We were going to need to play a near-perfect game to begin with, and we just made too many mistakes. That fumble by Ripkowski was... You know, I would argue that the opening kickoff may have been the turning point of the game, but if you don't count that, then the fumble by Ripkowski was really pretty brutal. Too many mistakes on our part, fumbles, drops, and we didn't capitalize when Atlanta really gave us opportunities to do that. We dropped a pair of interceptions just before the half, and there were a couple of fumbles that botched snaps, it looked like, that we weren't able to get on top
Gabriel
of.
The Gabriel trick play? Like, what are you doing, Shanahan? When he did that, like, all of us in the bar just, like, there was nobody breathing. Like, legitimately. Yeah. It was.
It just seemed so unnecessary, too. And it's easy to kind of go back and second guess, but, you know, you guys are leading, and between the Taylor Gabriel trick play and you ran a little bit of Wildcats, it just sort of seemed like you're doing fine to just pass the ball all over our defense, and you kind of shot yourselves in the foot there.
There were tons of opportunities. I mean, we had a bunch of drop balls. You guys had a couple dropped interceptions. Not a flawless game by Matt Ryan by any stretch of the means, but, you know, like I was sitting there in the bar, and what I kept saying to all my friends is, like, I feel like this is like Angels in the Outfield, and like every almost screw up, there was like somebody just like blowing on one of your players or something, or like, you know, when Aaron Rodgers got sacked by a finger, I was just like, oh my God, like everything is falling our way. Like this is our game to lose at this point. And like never in my wildest dreams did I think it was going to be 24-0 at halftime. Like, never.
Yeah, no, me neither. And you and I were trading some texts during the game. Just you were kind of talking about checking in on me, making sure I was okay. And I said, yeah, we'll be all right. It's a long game. I think we can maybe still pull this out. I didn't realize that when I said it was a long game, it meant that you guys were going to score three times as many points as you already had at that point. I thought maybe there was a chance that we could come back. But in general, you guys outplayed us today, and our defense was just atrocious. And part of it is the injuries, but, you know, when you're lining up Ladarius Gunter to try to cover the best wide receiver in football, that's not a very good formula for us. And just the back end of our defense in general was just pitiful.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are like decimated by injuries, though.
We were, but everybody's got injuries, so I feel like that's not really a very good excuse. But it certainly doesn't make life easier when, you know, top cornerback's gone from week one, and your second cornerback's in and out every other week, and yeah, it was tough to watch.
I mean, no, what I mean is, like, you guys lost like what, six or seven players in this game?
Oh yeah, at one point I saw we had Latroy Guyon playing guard for us, so that does give you a sense for how banged up we were on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, it was just, I mean, I felt bad for Aaron Rodgers at one point, and it didn't matter what he did. I mean, talking about running around, going crazy, and then just getting popped. Like, I think the biggest hit I saw was when we blitzed Brian Poole, and he got the ball out, and then Aaron Rodgers just got lit up.
He got rocked.
I mean, that was the tone for the entire game, though. Like, everybody was, you know, talking crap. Like, especially, like, we have a Slack group here for the Next Fan Up podcast. And, like, everybody was at your team's defense the entire game. Just being like, oh, well, you know, there's no defense. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, it is 24-0.
Yeah.
There's no defense for the Packers right now, but, like, can we get a little bit of respect? And it was just, I mean, it was just crazy to me. Like, dude, I don't even know. Like, how do I say this without sounding ridiculous? This game stressed me out. Because, like, I felt like at every turn, like, something bad was going to happen. Like, you know, like, Matt was throwing the ball, you know, a couple weird times. And I felt like he kept, like, noodle-arming it over to people. Like, it'd be, like, 3rd and 8, and he'd throw it, like, 5 yards down the field. And I felt like it would take, like, 30 seconds to get to that person. So then they're, like, having to fight for that extra 3 yards to get the first down. And, you know, the almost interceptions. And it just worries me going into a game with the Patriots. Because, like, yeah, we put up 44. But we put up 44 against, like, No disrespect, a college defense. Because, I mean, you guys were playing a bunch of people that no one's ever heard of because of the injuries. So, I mean, Jordy Nelson gutted it out for you guys on offense. But, man,
yeah, he played pretty well.
It was tough. And I'm not going to lie, I lost 2 years of my life when Alex Mack went down with that foot injury to only be out for one play. So, dude, I don't know. Like, I kind of feel bad, like, having to record with you right now because, like, I know how you're feeling because I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I mean, what else is there to say? Like, this game, like, the score makes it look a lot closer than it was. Because in the second half, the defense was just like, all right, don't get hurt.
Yeah, I stopped watching at the end of the game, I'll be honest. So I don't actually know what the final score was. Was it like 44-25 or something like that, but it really wasn't that close. I think we won by 20 or so points, or you guys won by 20 or so points, and it was never a competitive game for us. And yep, that's I will say one of the things, though, that kind of building off of that comment you made about having been here before, I don't know if it's worse to lose like this or to lose in heartbreaking fashion like we're so used to in the playoffs. I guess you can kind of get your head around it a little faster when you're getting blown out. So there is that, I guess, that kind of morbid silver lining for Packer fans.
No, I mean, another silver lining, Nick Hundley didn't look bad. Yeah, I know you turned off the game. Did you realize that Nick Hundley came in?
I did not realize that, actually.
Yeah,
he's been
pretty
good.
He led your last drive. I think he got 2 first downs.
Well, that's good. Hopefully we never have to see him again.
Unless you're like seeing him get traded away. Like, he has playoff experience. There's a lot of teams in the league that would love to have a quarterback with playoff experience. So maybe you can flip him for like a 3rd round pick.
Yeah, so, we'll see. He's been a good little player for us and a good backup as far as that goes.
So I have to ask, who are you cheering for in the Super Bowl? Are you going to go with the Falcons or are you going to go with the Chiefs?
All the way. Yeah, I would prefer just about anybody over the Patriots. Just they've been there. I like to see different teams win it. If it's not going to be the Packers, I want it to be somebody new. And Falcons are that team this year. So go Atlanta.
Absolutely. Go Atlanta. Go NFL MVP Matt Ryan. Lead this team down to Houston, take it home. Brian, do you have anything that you would like to sign off for the season with?
No, just looking forward to getting into off-season mode a little bit here. There's got some guys coming up with contracts that'll be interesting to kind of watch. Nick Perry's up and TJ Lang. Looked like he had a pretty serious injury today. I felt really bad for that guy.
Why do they keep showing him?
I think
is crying. Like,
raw emotion.
Just leave him alone.
Yeah, it was tough to watch, especially knowing that he played so well for us all year. He was hurt most of the year. He was dealing with a foot injury, and he was able to gut it out every week. But something happened. It looked like I haven't seen what injury it was exactly, but I think people were speculating that it might have been a knee. That'd be just so devastating to see him go down like that in the last game of the season, to have a significant knee injury that's going to knock you out in a contract year that's tough to watch. So that'll be interesting, and it'll be interesting to watch and see what happens with kind of our general manager. There's, you know, been some speculation that maybe Ted wants to hang him up. I haven't heard anything from him specifically, but while Elliot Wolf and Brian Gutekunst were interviewing with the 49ers, there was some speculation that maybe we should move Ted into kind of a consultant, kind of a emeritus role with the Packers and allow somebody else to step in. So I don't know how I would feel about that, honestly. He's been pretty good. We've had a pretty good run here for a while, but I've only really been able to get over the hump that one time. So it's hard to really evaluate whether or not he's the problem for us. So in any case, it's been great. Go Falcons. I would love to see them beat the Patriots. I haven't seen any lines yet for that game. What, you know what it is? Have you seen any?
I have not yet. Let's see if I can find one real quick. Fill some time.
Yeah, sure. Dom Capers, the defensive coordinator, I think he's going to get roasted a little bit after all the yards we gave up in the secondary this week. But when you're trying to, when the best cover guy you got is Ladarius Gunter, and I guess you got a banged up Demaryius Randall too, but I feel like it's hard to really pin too much of the blame on him because of how injured we were. And but at the same time, we've had years where we didn't have quite so many injuries and we were only marginally better. So I know he is the defensive coordinator that is the longest tenured with his current team. And I almost wonder if maybe a shakeup there might do us a little good, kind of get some fresh blood in there, maybe some fresh ideas.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely agree with that. The only person who thought that Dom Capers did a good job today was Sean Spicer. So
yeah, right.
Yeah, not great. So for the Super Bowl, the Patriots are opening as a 3-point favorite, and the over under in that game is 57.5. Okay. Gonna take the over, obviously. Mm-hmm. And man, I can't believe they're giving the Falcons 3 points. Like, all right, all right.
Yeah, if I was
anyone, I would take the Falcons in that. So, and if Patrick doesn't agree, then he's drunk. So, yeah, let's go Falcons. Rise up. City needs this.
Yeah, way more than New England does.
Yeah, New England doesn't need anything. Packers can go to hell. Not the Packers, the Patriots. Sorry.
Hey.
I misspoke. I was looking at your thing. It says Green Bay because your name on here is Green Bay Brian. I apologize. The Patriots can go to hell. Rise up, Atlanta. Brian, it's been fun. I'll catch you next season.
Yep. Good luck next 2 weeks from now. Take care, yep. Tim.
See ya.
Hello. We are here. I'm here with Patrick, the Patriots superfan. I'm Greg, the Steelers superfan. We are here to, I guess, recap the massacre in Foxborough.
That is one way to look at it. Absolutely. Yes, that is what we're here to do.
So I guess since you are the victor, we will talk positively about your team first here. What do you think was the biggest key that tilted the game in your favor for you?
I mean, there's so many. You could say Bell going out early with an injury, except he wasn't really productive before that. You know, because we were able to just contain the gaps and keep him from squeaking through. So I don't really see that as having changed. But without him on the field, and again, I have no way of knowing if this would have changed or not, but we were able to really just lock down Brown, you know, and make him pretty well ineffective. And if you take away, you know, the best player, or in this case, the two best players from the opposing team's offense, what you're really doing is just inviting Brady to march on you like Sherman and, you know, keep scoring. What I didn't think was going to happen is that our number two receiver, who, you know, I think is fine. I didn't think that dude was going to have 180 yards receiving today. I can tell you that right now, bobbling every catch he had, like didn't matter, like gone. And they just kept not covering the guy. I mean, the last time you and I talked, you were like, oh, this is a different defense. We have a bunch of rookies that are coming in and playing and they're looking good for us, and athletically that might be true, but man, they looked like rookies out there tonight.
Yeah, and I'm wondering what they did to scheme him open, or was it just blown coverages? Because back there on the, you know, the back end of the defense, Mike Mitchell is anything but a rookie, and he's supposed to be the one that makes sure everyone's lined up correctly, and they have experience, you know, they have experience up the middle. So I'm surprised that he was open so often. I mean, and not just open, this was like college open for like division two, county, you know, Yeah, it was ridiculously open. So I wonder if it was something they did. You know, I know one time, like, James Harrison didn't carry him down the zone because James Harrison's, like, 50 years old and James Harrison doesn't carry anyone down the line. But outside of that play,
yeah. I don't know what it was weird watching the guy play with an oxygen tank on his back.
Yeah, too bad he actually played like that, you know. It just didn't look like it. True. I thought it was, you know, the classic Patriots game from my perspective. Opportunities were given and they took advantage of them. So
That's it. That's the way the Patriots play on offense and defense. It's disciplined, well-planned. Like, they find their little niches where they feel like they're going to be successful, and they bang the hell out of them. You know, and that's just it. And you look up in the third or fourth quarter, and you're like, oh, we scored 30. Oh, okay, well, I remember how we did that. That's a little different today because there's a ton of big plays, like a ton of big plays. But, yeah, typically it's just, especially on defense, it's like you don't see it coming, then all of a sudden you realize you've just been dominating the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
What was Sam doing throwing deep into, like, triple coverage, by the way? Well, can you explain that one to me?
He was throwing the Hayward Bay, and Hayward Bay apparently forgot to look for the football, so that helps. But,
well, I mean, it's easy to blame Hayward Bay, but, like, there were three Patriots there that could have picked that ball off.
Well, I mean, it's easy to blame him because he ran himself out of the picture view. Like, he obviously didn't know the ball was in the air because he just kept running. Just, like, you know.
Hey, Al Davis loves that guy. That guy's fast. Like, he can outrun that ball all day long.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to digress here, but Hayward Bay actually, I mean, he'll never live up to his draft stock, but he's a solid pro player. You know, he's basically a special teamers, a teams player who's like 28 years old who can, you know, hit you deep every once in a while. That's what he is. I mean, he does well at that.
He's been in the league a long time. Yeah. Like, that's fair. It's not like he busted out.
Yeah, I mean, he does the dirty work. He's a great blocker, and he's a great special teams player. So I have a respect for him from that way. You know, he's actually made himself into something. From the Steelers' standpoint, you know, we really missed not having another weapon on the opposite of Antonio Brown. All season, this Eli Rogers and Kobe Hamilton. Hamilton, I think, came up like the fifth week of the season. They're both undrafted free agents, had never played an NFL down heading into the season. And today, it appeared to me that the game was too big for both of them. Hamilton probably should have had four touchdowns. He legitimately was open in the end zone and just couldn't pull it down. One time, I mean, I think on the fourth down play where he was after he was out of bounds, he had to go up and get the ball, and he had the height advantage. He didn't do that. He just failed to step up.
He was also left uncovered because after he left the field of play, there's no sense in covering him anymore.
No, I know. But other than that, also outside of that play, he missed his opportunities to make a name for himself. Eli Rogers showed that he's just a slot receiver, and he tried to do too much, and of course had the huge fumble that pretty much sewed up the game. You know, there was plays out there the Steelers left out on the field. Sammy Coates, on the first drive of the game, he's a deep threat, and he didn't go get the ball. I was shocked by that. And, you know, that was basically, if you want to just, the third play of the game or whatnot, that was pretty much the Steelers' offense right there. I mean, Ben, I thought, was spot on. He just had a lot of drops. So,
yeah, I would agree with that. Like, the classic Patriots defensive game, opposing quarterbacks can complete passes all day long if they're disciplined. And I with one, like, desperation throw notwithstanding, I think Roethlisberger played a well-disciplined game. And I think his stat line probably, well, maybe his stat line at the end of the day didn't show it. But, I mean, I'm sitting there watching the game, and he looked solid. And then, you know, Phil Simms is trying to put the double hex curse on the guy by continuously talking about how many passes in a row he's completed.
Yeah.
You know, so I think, I think he did well, like, individually. It's just not enough.
Yeah. And I think the game, and from my viewpoint at least, really turned early in the third quarter with that, you know, I was on that Slack group beating it to death pretty much, where you had the defenseless receiver hit on Shazier. Letter of the law, that's the correct call. But it's a tough call. You know, Amendola or whoever it was, Edelman, was dropping his head and Shazier collided heads with him. You know, was it a vicious hit from the appearance of it to me? And then... Yeah,
strict liability is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, you play defense, that's a call you're going to get against you, I guess. But then the fumble that was...
I got that called to me all the time.
From your Iowa days. Yeah.
That's right.
But The fumble that was a non-fumble, that was a huge play in the whole game. There was confusion, you know, if the Steelers actually had clearly recovered or not from Nance and Sims. So that just added to my irritation with the call. But I thought it was a good challenge. It clearly was a fumble from the one vantage point they had. So that's a tough one. And then they go down and get a field goal. So, and then when the Steelers came back, trying to get in field goal range or whatnot, I thought Patrick Chung got away with a little bit of a hold. Not egregious or anything, but those are 50-50 calls in general that you'd expect to get one of. And in a short amount of time, the Steelers got zero. And the Patriots, to their credit, took advantage and ran up the score after that. What's your big takeaway for the game? I mean, I'm sure you saw a little bit of the Atlanta game earlier today. What do you think is going to
be any of the Atlanta game? I missed the entire thing. No, I was child rearing. I didn't see any of it. I was watching something on Nickelodeon. I don't remember what, but it wasn't football. I can tell you that. Yeah.
Good.
I don't know. I know I'm tired of Tim ducking me. Like, I wanted him to be on the call. He's like, no, I can't. And I'm tired of the commissioner not coming here either. It's like it's, Foxborough Stadium turning into a wrestling crowd pretty quick here over these two.
All right. Well, so we'll let you have the last word here. So what's your big takeaway? And, congratulations, Patrick.
Well, thank you very much. My takeaway is, like, I am not, it's not a takeaway. I'm not surprised at the outcome. Like, and I mean, I don't necessarily mean that, like, we beat the ever-loving hell out of, you know, the Steelers. Because I am a little surprised by that, but I'm not shocked that we won. And, like, frankly, like, these are the two teams, and we talked about this last week too, these are the two teams that we assumed would be, like, in the title game this year, right, for the AFC. So, and I'm also assuming that either one of us would whip up on the Falcons. So, I still feel probably irrationally confident right now about heading into the Super Bowl against Atlanta.
Well, good. That's a good way to feel. I feel inspired by the Steelers' play this year. So the young defense, you know, showed up. And if we just keep guys off weed for about 15 months, we'll be okay.
Yeah, man, if that's not your harbinger, right? Like, or not harbinger, your albatross. Like you continually draft, like, really, really, really good guys that come up through your system that just can't stay clean. It's the weirdest thing.
That's what happens with fourth-round picks, I guess. So
I guess so.
But congratulations again. I think this is, what, a record-setting trip for the Patriots, the ninth?
Yeah, this is this the ninth? This is the ninth, yeah. Seven for Belichick. So it's a record for him, too.
Super impressive.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to be kings.
All right. Well, I'm sure we'll have plenty of Patrick on the podcast the next 2 weeks. So
awesome. Yeah. And then plenty again after that, because then comes draft time. And I can't wait to complain about not having enough picks.
Yeah, you've been hitting that hard already, so that's awesome.
it's been like 2 years. All right, man. All right. Well, congratulations on the well-played game.
You too. All right. Good night, Patrick.
Good night.
That's it. The only game left that matters is the Super Bowl itself. We've got the Atlanta Falcons taking on the New England Patriots. The forces of good versus the forces of evil, at least from my biased perspective, of course. We are going to be recording shows over these next 2 weeks, talking things like Pro Bowls. We're going to be looking ahead to the draft. There's a lot to get to. Don't think that just because we're down to the end of the season that we are going away anytime soon, because we are not. If you have any questions, comments, go ahead and email us, nextfanup@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, @NFUPodcast. Check out our website, nextfanup.wordpress.com. Leave us a review. Share us, like us, tell us what you think. Tell your buddy about us. Tell your mom, tell your barber, tell everybody about this show. We want people listening. With that, I'm going to leave you with a regular human being who needs a job, Jeff Fisher. There you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, this game is 4 quarters long.
Man, I can't believe they're giving the Falcons 3 points. If Patrick doesn't agree, then he's drunk.
Either one of us would whip up on the Falcons.